Stan switched off the car, killing the headlights and dropping darkness over the house. There were no lights on inside, which was odd, and Carmen usually left the porch light on for him if he was going to be late. A flash of lightning brought the bungalow to life in a gasp of blue, then everything went black again. Stan rummaged blindly in the back for a brolly. Why was there never one in the car when he needed it? Despite no umbrella, he was glad for the rain. It was a welcome reprieve from the relentless block of heat that had stretched across the month, day after day, temperatures in the 30s. It had left people on edge, as if the seemingly unending summer had somehow been a mistake, and there would be a price to pay besides the restless nights. So much sunshine felt like a threat. Don't enjoy yourself too much. He opened the car door and, canopying his sweatshirt over his head, ran around to the passenger side to get the flowers he'd bought at an after-hours florist. 6 long-stemmed ivory roses tied together with a Hessian bow and secured with a pearl-headed pin. That cost a small fortune, more than an impoverished pottery teacher could afford anyway, and now they were about to get battered by oversized raindrops. He made a dash for the garage door and tried unsuccessfully to roll it up with his spare hand, but it required both. Carmen had got a quote for installing an automated garage door, but he'd resisted. There were other ways to spend the bank's money. He stood dripping in the darkness of the garage, the air a suffocating mix of dust, lawnmower fuel and weed spray, and he tried to plump out the saturated Hessian bow. The bouquet no longer looked expensive. Stan made his way through the interconnecting door. Hiya, I'm home. The house was quiet and disappointingly devoid of dinner smells. Had Carmen succumbed to the boys' endless nagging and gotten takeaways? He switched on the hall light, the solitary bulb, bringing the narrow corridor and worn paisley runner to sepia life. The door to the living room was shut. Hello, he called out. This is your father and loving husband calling any live members of the Andino household. He moved down the hallway, his gaze taking in the framed family portrait of his grandparents in Greece 3/4 of a century ago. Both dressed in black, neither smiling. It had been hanging on the wall for years and was so familiar it had become invisible. But now his Yaya's dark eyes held his gaze. Anybody home? Don't come in, Carmen shouted from behind the shut door. Not till I say so. Okay, Stan said, smiling to himself. I've got a surprise for you too, just saying. Reuben put his head out of his bedroom door and pulled out an earphone. Hey, Dad. How are you going, Squirt? Leon's head appeared beside his brother's. And another body surfaces. Good day at school, guys? The boys glanced at each other, then Leon blurted out. Mum's been... She's like doing some seriously weird stuff, Dad. Stan frowned, looked at the hallway door. It was never normally shut. He swallowed, then passed the roses to Reuben, as if he was going to need both hands. Stan winced as he stepped into the lounge, a strong chemical smell searing his nostrils. He scanned the room, which at first glance was empty. Then Carmen jumped up from where she'd been kneeling in front of the couch. What part of do not come in till I say so, don't you understand? Stan's eyes narrowed. His wife was naked, except for his black barbecuing apron. Every minute detail of the scene registered on his retinas like some all-seeing eye. The bucket of silvered foam, the industrial-sized bottle of bleach, cap askew, the carpet disfigured by large, pale pockmarks. Carmen's pendulous breast escaping from behind the black fabric, the kidney-shaped sponge she kept for cleaning the car in her rubber-gloved hand, a dead moth upended on the windowsill, the cat backed into a corner. What's happened? Now you've gone and spoilt the surprise, Carmen said, pouting. Stan moved towards the window, forced it open. Geez, how can you breathe in here? The cat shot across the room and dived through the gap. Oh, come on, it's not that bad. Carmen, what on earth are you doing? Stan's thoughts could find no anchor. Nothing about the scene made sense. He turned. The boys were standing at the door, their eyes wide. Give us a minute, guys, he said, trying to steady his voice. As the twins backed obediently down the hall, he closed the door and then turned to his wife. Carmen, what are you doing to the carpet? And why in God's name are you naked? It's not like you haven't seen all this before, she said with a snort. But what are you doing? He asked again, searching the room for some clue. For a bizarre moment, he was looking for blood spatter, a chainsaw, a dismembered body. It's such a dark, depressing brown. We keep talking about getting new carpets. Talking, always talking. You and I both know it's never going to happen. We can't afford to. So I'm taking matters into my own hands. You're bleaching the entire carpet? Stan said, trying to compute the scale of what his wife was undertaking. No, I just thought I'd do one corner of the room, she said sarcastically. Then with a smile, of course I'll do the whole carpet. In that moment, as Carmen spoke in a calm, logical voice, Stan had never felt more alone or more frightened. But what possessed you to embark on such DIY madness at this time of night? You didn't think perhaps we should discuss this first before you let loose with bleach in our lounge? Anger surged through him. And you're doing it naked because what, you want to scare the kids? Oh, don't be such a prude, she said, flinging down the sponge. A spray of bleach bubbles landed on his jeans. I didn't want to discolour my clothes, she said, as if the answer couldn't have been more obvious. Anyway, it won't do the boys any harm to see how real work gets done. They're too used to sitting around on their asses all day. It was Carmen's last comment that gave Stan his first clue and helped him interpret the uninterpretable. Carmen adored her sons, would offer herself up as a sacrifice for them in a heartbeat. She'd never refer to them in this way, not unless something was wrong, very, very wrong.